out. Can I get a little confirmation here that people can actually hear me? Let's see. Talk about technical issues. We're switching technologies here a little bit. It turns out the recording differences are just slightly different. So I'm probably going to spend some of the show adjusting this a bit, and hopefully things will pick up in a little while. I'd like to apologize to Quasar for making him turn up his volume to unacceptably high levels. Probably also lagging a little bit behind you guys, so you won't hear this for a second. Hello. Phil, can you hear me? You know, I think I just figured this out. Bill! Okay, let's see. Again, just like to apologize. Trying to get this sorted out as fast as we can and get on with the show. Let's try switching that. You could only see, ladies and gentlemen, the kind of technology I'm going nuts with over here. Great, okay, I see the volume meters going nuts. I'm definitely coming through now. I've also got Bill on the line, but I don't know if you can hear me right now. Bill Koch, Bill, can you hear me? Can you? I can't hear you. No, I can't hear you, Bill.
Can you
hear me? Wait, we're getting... Okay, I heard you a little bit right there.
You can hear me now?
There we go. All right.
Now I can hear myself.
Oh, yeah, I remember we had this problem, but looks like we'll have
to... No, I hear you. I hear me. Skype.
All right, well, I guess we'll have to put up with it for now, okay? Now that we've got the show together, sorry about that. Let's try and take this from the top. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce my new co-host. We've got Bill, the Indiana Menace Cook. I hope I'm getting that correctly.
Yeah, you said it right this time.
Even though that's technically incorrect, whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, you might know him as Bloodshedder, the psychopath speller, and he is joining me as my new co-host, which should definitely make for some fun times. Let's move on right to the first item of news, because this one's a little bit of a shocker. Very recently, a new law has been enacted in Florida and Utah, with also Wisconsin and Rhode Island also taking a look and thinking of following suit. You must now, they're putting in some new, more stringent needs for people trying to resale of video games. This law specifically applies to the resale of video games, like trying to turn in something to GameStop, for example, to try and get some cash back. The law states that customers are any customer trying to sell a used game must be thumbprinted, must have a copy of his ID presented, only store credit will be allowed, no more cash, and the store must wait 30 days before reselling it. Supposedly, this law is being put into effect to curb the sale of stolen video games, but what do you think, Bill? Like, do you think that's, like, a really huge problem, stolen video games, like, requiring us to now fingerprint people?
I thought it was stolen systems that was the big problem.
So, I myself am not really keen on the idea of being fingerprinted.
It's just a huge invasion of privacy.
We'll table that one for in case we get some callers. And I just want to remind everybody that if you do want to call into the show, just look me up on Skype. The username is AskMaster. You'll also see me show up as Jason Masidas. And maybe we can discuss this. Maybe you can give your points. Maybe somebody out there agrees that there's some kind of huge problem with video game theft resale that we're not aware of. But let's table that for now. Let's move on. Last month, police officers, a group of police officers went on an investigation for these are real police officers, by the way, for a rape that occurred in the game Second Life. and this could set some interesting case law, at least over in Belgium. Now, the question is, of course, like whether or not the psychological trauma of rape within a video game and how you even define rape in a game, since there are no physics involved, you know, nobody's touching each other, it's just avatars, whether that can be really compared to real-world rape, if it's a crime at all.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. This was investigated by police.
In Belgium?
In Belgium.
Remind me never to go to Belgium.
Well, I mean, like, what do you think? I mean, granted, I have to say, like, I wouldn't call this real rape, but do you think it should be some kind of a lesser penalty crime for somebody to undergo that kind of an abuse in an online environment?
Maybe some sort of cyber harassment or something, but definitely not full rape.
So that'll be tonight's second top story. We're gonna go to music for a bit, but before we go, I just want to leave you to mull over this. Uwe Boll, who I can't stop picking on, has recently, now that he's finished filming Post the movie, has gone on to film Far Cry the movie. I'm sure everyone remembers Far Cry, and one of the really cool things about Far Cry was the giant expanse of jungle that it took place in. So, of course, what does Uwe do? The movie will be filmed in Canada, which is, of course, well known for its island tropics. And with that, we're going to go to some music. We're going to start off with a little Silent Hill remix, and we'll be right back. Remember to call in, folks. AskMaster on Skype. Be right back. All right, and we are back. Bill, I believe before we went to break, you had had a little something to say about Uwe.
Oh, yeah. You know how all the acting is always great in his movies, eh?
Yeah, of course. Hey, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, let's just say the voice acting in Far Cry will be a lot better than how the movie will turn out.
Speaking of game-related movies, and it's funny how I swear, anytime I do a show, there is never a shortage of news on this. Street Fighter is making a comeback as a film, and this time it'll be starring Jessica Biel taking the role of Chun-Li, and the entire film will focus around her this time. No release date on that so far. Fortunately or unfortunately, it does not seem to be headed by Uwe Boll. I don't know, can they really pull out, like, a full-fledged movie out of the Street Fighter series?
Haven't they already?
Yeah, that's what I kept thinking of myself. It's like, this has been done before. This has failed before. But they're making a second shot. I guess game-related movies are a hot topic. And that's actually not the only one that we've got coming up, because we've got a straight-to-DVD release, and I know as soon as Quasar hears this, he's going to squeal like a little girl. We've got a straight-to-DVD release of a Castlevania movie coming out soon. It's an anime, however, and it's being written by graphic novelist Warren Ellis, of course, in cooperation with Konami and with IGA, as he likes to be called, the producer of the Castlevania series. Just no comment on that one.
Yeah.
It's okay. This has probably also got something to do with the Castlevania live-action movie that will be coming out, I believe. I don't know if it's next year. It's either next year or the year after, one of those summer blockbusters. And I guess these are hot properties lately. All right. Let's see. And before we, wrapping up the whole entertainment section, we've got, this time it's not a movie, it's a play. There's a premiere of a play in San Francisco. It's called First Person Shooter, The Play. The concept behind the play is that a studio makes a violent and bloody and gory first person shooter, which ends up being a huge success. And however, the studio itself starts getting blamed for a rash of killings that occur after the release of the game. And I'm sure we all know what have spurred this kind of a play, and I think it's kind of cool that it's coming to a stage to try and fight back against that kind of sentiment.
Is that really what they're doing? Trying to fight back?
I don't know. I mean, are they personally trying to fight back? It's probably more of a parody of our current situation, less of a personal statement from them about how they might feel. But, I mean, it certainly can't hurt the cause, if you want to call it a cause, of reducing the liability of games and game designers.
Well, satire is always nice.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see, do we have any other... No more other entertainment gaming-related news. Although, I guess we can use this as a segue. This time, Tournament.com. Tournament.com is a site that runs... essentially what is gambling, has struck a deal with Valve. Valve is going to be running, through Tournament.com, skills-based tournaments for Half-Life 2 and Counter-Strike. Taking this quote directly from the article, it says, a six-player tournament where each put in $3.60 and an $18 pot is split between the three top finishers. The second tournament that's been devised is an open, continuous tournament where players win $1 if they kill someone and lose $1 if they are killed. So we've actually entered the world of gambling with Half-Life 2.
This sounds... Well, you know how I've been with Doom Center for a while, and our parent company was... Well, the reasons that they got their divisions is because they put all their money into a service called eSports, which is, I believe, the winners and such got paid for playing or whatever, and, it kind of died.
Oh, I guess this is a good time to ask, is that part of the reason that Doom Center ended up disappearing, so to speak?
Well, pretty much, because MGON also stopped paying Big Dog, for webmaster. So that was also part of the reason.
I guess it definitely sucks to have to run a site for free. Let's take a look at the clock. No calls so far. We're about to go to a break in a second, and I'm going to come back to you with some upcoming releases. I just want to remind everybody that we are live on the air, so if you want to give us a call, hit me up on Skype, username AskMaster, and let's go to a break. Be right back. Keep listening.
Oh.
Wow, what a mix that was. That's for the all the IDM fans out there, all five of you. I thought I just had to play that. Yeah, so we're back, and let's take a look at what's going on in terms of game releases. Actually, this isn't much of a release. This is more of a call to arms, so to speak. Blizzard, and I covered them briefly, and this will have to, I covered them recently, and this will tie into what I said last week. Blizzard has been doing a lot of job announcements lately, which is something all you aspiring game developers might want to check out. And the latest one is that they are going mobile, so to speak. They are developing, they are asking, at the very least, for developers for mobile phones. This follows some of the news that we got last week about them hiring somebody for a quote-unquote next-gen multiplayer online... Good God, what is wrong with me talking today? Hiring for a next-gen MMORPG, which has been heavily rumored to be some kind of online StarCraft follow-up to World of Warcraft. Whether or not that's actually true is debatable, but the idea of an MMO, if that's what this is going to be, on a cell phone, could certainly be kind of breaking new ground, especially in terms of addiction.
Yeah, because then you can play wherever you are.
this is, nonetheless, if we have any mobile developers who are listening on the line right now, and I believe GraphZal, or one of those people who works on the forums, not works on the forums, posts on the forums, is in fact a developer for mobile systems. So some of you guys might actually want to check this out. Maybe this could be a good lead for you. Note that you might have to move to Korea, but I'm sure that's no big deal for you guys, right? Great. Moving right along. Nights into Dreams is a game some of you might remember from Saturn. The developer stated that he would never, ever, ever, ever make a sequel to it. And now, 11 years later, we got a sequel to it on the Nintendo Wii. I guess money is louder than promises here. Not that that phrase means anything. What the hell is wrong with me?
Money talks?
Oh, my God. You're so useful. I'm so glad you are my co-host. What would I do without you? Okay, yes. Anyway, so there's not a lot of information on it right now. I'm sure if you Google it, you can see some of the new screenshots we've got coming up. Knights was always an interesting game, and it kind of lends itself very much to the Wii controller, because even at the beginning on the Saturn, it was a very sort of freeform 360 degrees of movement game, which ended up necessitating a special gamepad for the Saturn, and let's see how they can utilize the Wii remote in that. Let's see. Speaking of the Wii, Google has released a newsreader specifically for the Wii. It's kind of a little bit of a lie to say it's specifically for Wii technology. Their new RSS reader has more to do with readability on television screens. But right now, since the Wii's internet channel is kind of the dominant, I guess if you could say there is a market for console browsers, especially since they use a standard Opera browser, or at least a modified version of Opera, it's currently being referred to sort of as the Wii News Reader. So go Google. Let's see, what else we got here? For anybody who's interested, Halo 2 has been pushed back a little bit more for the PC. However, Microsoft does say it should be out on May 22nd in retail stores. I can't believe it's actually taken them this long to get Halo 2 to PC.
I can.
Well, I mean, granted, you know, it was supposed to be in a very exclusive property for Xbox 360 for a while, but how long has it been now? It's been well over a year.
It took them quite a while to port the original Halo to PC as well.
Still waiting for some callers, but in the meantime, here's some nifty news. May 5th, and I'm sure Bloodshedder knows this, but some of you other guys might not. May 5th was the 15th birthday of Wolfenstein 3D. How cool is that? Makes us feel young.
I did not know that.
Oh, you did not know that. Shame on you. I'm sure I don't even have to mention what Wolfenstein 3D is. I guarantee every single person listening to this knows. And let's see. What else do we have on the agenda for today?
If you don't have anything else, I have something.
Oh, that's great, because I don't have anything else, and I was about to go into a lot of filler. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, recently I've been reading on Twitch Guru. It's a site affiliated with Hardware. If you just Google the name Twitch Guru, you should be able to find it. But they've got a series of features called the Best Games Never That Were Released. It was essentially games that were developed but never actually published.
Interesting. I'm going there right now. Do we have any, is there anything that you see on the list at the very least that was something that was heavily anticipated that never actually made its market?
Well, they put Duke Nukem Forever on the list.
Of course. But hey, it is technically still in production. Somehow, somewhere. There's at least one guy working on it, supposedly.
Yeah, there's still one guy coming up with names for all the guns. Otherwise, most of the games on there I have never really heard of.
Speaking of vaporware such as that, whatever happened, do you remember the Phantom console?
Yes, and I remember the Andrima as well.
And have those, I'm surprised, granted it's a game list and not a console list. Last I heard, though, the Phantom was still vaguely sort of kind of in production, but just looking for investors.
Oh, right.
Anything else?
Not really.
That's okay. Do have some arcade news. Arcade news is pretty rare these days, but arcades are not dead. Sega, and like I'm betting a lot of people don't know it, but Sega actually makes a good amount of their money from arcade games and not from the console market. Sega's recently rolled out House of the Dead 4, which features, besides just the game itself, two 100-inch projector screens, and the seats themselves are not motion activated, but include some sort of motion and rumble feature. An on-rails first-person shooter like that could be definitely interesting to have the chairs actually swivel in a given direction instead of the screen moving around to show you where the action's happening. It's good to see the arcade market is still alive. I kind of miss arcades. It's sad to see them go.
Well, I thought they haven't gone.
Huh? Well, they're going. speaking from personal experience, I've seen three major arcades in New York City shut down in the past 6 years, maybe? And it's been kind of, it's a fun place to hang out in an environment like that where it's sort of all-inclusive, and it kind of stinks to see them heading away. We do still have some of the really, really major players like ESPN Zone, but those places are a little bit pricey. Why? What's the arcade situation like in Indiana over there?
There used to be two arcades in the town, and now, as far as I know, there's one. So, yeah.
That's a 50% loss, ladies and gentlemen. 50%.
I don't know about the rest of the state, because I don't live in the whole state. I live.
Let's see. 41. Well, crap. I'm out of news.
I think I have something, sort of. I can't remember the name of it, though, but it's this big sphere that you can go inside and walk around in, and you strap a headset on yourself, and it's got screens, and you can essentially walk around in the game by walking in the sphere, And you have this little handheld controller that you can use to, like, fire a weapon or something. I don't remember the name of it, but it looked pretty neat.
Is this something in market now, or, like,
I think it's more of in the prototype stage, but it could cost a while.
I can imagine.
I imagine they haven't released the production.
That reminds me of some of the older virtual reality machines of yore. I don't know if you'd ever used one of them yourself or any of our listeners, where you were strapped, of course, with a headset and had to stand inside of this giant ring. And I'm sure anybody who's played one of those old VR games at the time, even though, like, the effect itself was essentially realistic, the technology was visually so poor that, you know, they kind of disappeared from arcades for a long time. And I wonder if, like, the kind of invention that you're talking about, you know, assuming, like, financially it could be feasible, could bring that sort of environment back.
Well, the game, Quake 2 era or something like that.
Let's see. All right, well, we're going to try and get ourselves together a little bit more, and in the meantime, let's go to some music. We'll be right back, ladies and gents. dig that Mario funk. Now that I've thought of Mario, I actually thought about something that I totally forgot to mention and is rather important since it's community news. Quasar, James Haley, has recently announced that he is porting the editor Death, D-E-E-T-H, not porting it is probably the wrong word. Would we say updating it to multi-platform capabilities?
Yeah.
And also, on top of that, and this is something that's very good for EE itself, which is not surprising since he's coding it, adding all of the extra data features to this editor. For those of you who don't know, extra data is a set of extensions that Quasar has created for the Eternity engine for use with games like Doom and Heretic and Hexen. Unfortunately, since no editor supports them right now, this has kind of been a stumbling block for mappers who've wanted to use them since they had to manually insert things here and there and got a lot of kind of messy. So hopefully, now that he finishes this, perhaps, the Eternity engine will see a little bit more popularity.
I hope so. Otherwise, he'll be whining in the channel more about it.
No, he'll still, trust me. Are you kidding? Him programming something new, we're looking at entire, like, month's worth of new, like, source code pastes on the channel. I'll be able to compile EE Death from my logs. Let's see, any more community news? Unfortunately, not seeing anything else.
I thought it was interesting that Linguisa found a ChexQuest forum.
Oh, that's right. We have, I don't know how that survives, a ChexQuest forum. With a huge, do they even rival us? I'm not sure. I only took a quick look. But that was kind of frightening. I wonder if we should have, I hate to keep going back to Quasar. I wonder if he should have gone there when he was planning his ChexQuest CC, the Phlegm Wars, which I suppose has been officially canceled due to lack of interest. But I guess he can find his audience there.
Yeah, it'd definitely be a bigger audience there than here.
I wonder, though, like, what do you think could have made... I mean, ChexQuest is essentially Doom with, you know, new graphics and sounds. But why a separate forum and why so surprisingly large for that specific game and not merged into our, like, Doom world?
I don't know. That's a good question, but I don't have an answer.
Not that I know either. But I guess if I had to guess, I wonder about the demographic there. I'm guessing they're probably about the same age range as us, but maybe there's some sort of attraction to the nonviolent nature of ChexQuest. Not really sure.
Something tells me that's not really a factor, because these people aren't kids anymore, I'm guessing.
Actually, I wonder... I guess it's something to mull over, and now that we're aware of their existence, and they seem to be somewhat resentful of the way we regarded them so far, who knows, maybe we'll get a little cross-forum action going on sometime in the future.
Well, we already have...
Well, yeah, but so far it hasn't been totally pleasant. Linguisa himself seems to have been the butt of a couple of jokes and insults over at their forum, and I guess maybe they took our point of view of them a little bit the wrong way. Maybe that's why that happened. But since some of the editing tools surely overlap. In fact, they must entirely use the same things that we use. Who knows? Maybe they'll be a little. Maybe some of their projects will flow over into our forums and we'll have some actual stuff going on, some news to report.
maybe.
All right, well, if you've got nothing and I've got nothing and we're almost at the end of the show anyway, how about we go to music quick bit, we'll come back, we'll chat a little, we'll at least advertise ourselves a little bit more. And beg you to come on, and I'll explain a little bit about some of the changes also that are going to be going on in the station and some of the changes that will occur immediately after the show, for example, but I'll get to that in a minute. Let's go to a quick song, and I'll be right back.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back. I said quick, and I meant quick. That song in particular brought back some memories. It was from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the NES game, which was one of the more disappointing memories of my childhood. Wow, that game was bad. Anyway, as we approach the close of the show, I want to mention some of the changes that are going to be happening. Normally, at the end of a show, for example, we would go to a night of 24/7 music before the next live show by myself or by another DJ. Due to some of the growing pains that we're experiencing lately, though, I don't know if, Bill, if you want to stream music all night. I'm betting you probably don't.
No, I got torrents to seed.
No, that's, I mean, and that's fine. I wouldn't have asked you to do it anyway. But so for tonight, we're not going to end on the, well, finish or be preceded by the usual slew of nightly music. But that we'll go back to our old format a little bit in the future. Just having a little trouble. It's a little technical difficulties right now. Hopefully, I can get things figured out on my end, and we can host some music. I'd like to thank, in closing, I'd like to thank Bill for doing an excellent job. Excellent job. As my first, what? This is your first day co-hosting. You took it like a champ.
Okay, if you say so.
Hey, besides, you saved me with your big game sphere story and your comments here and there, which were very helpful. Like, if nothing else, like, I like to think that our show can promote not just, like, you know, me spouting off things that you could read in any gaming magazine, but, you know, promotes a little discussion, and it's good to hear people's opinions on a story rather than just the news itself.
Well, it'd be nice if we could also get more people to call in. Apparently everybody's a little phone shy.
I think, like, part of, well, first of all, I don't understand why some of you guys don't have microphones. Microphones are really not that expensive. I think I paid about $5 for mine, and I think it works okay. And I guess we're still spreading the word on Unidoom Radio. I think I wouldn't be surprised if we've lost some listeners due to some of the hiccups we've been having, but we're going to try and get that stuff worked out. In the meantime, I guess, I mean, do you have any, Bill, do you have any other, anything else you'd like to say before we cut out?
No. Should I?
I'm just asking you. You know, I'm not commanding you.
I know.
If you don't, you don't. That's okay. We're going to leave you tonight with not game music specifically, but game related. And remember, our show is always on at approximately 8 p.m. at least. Approximately 8 p.m. Hopefully always 8 p.m. on Thursdays. So please check us out. Ralph should be returning with his show as soon as he gets his head straight. I don't know. And we've got possibly a couple other more shows coming up. From various other Unijim members. Let's hope they pull through. I'll try and help them out with that. In the meantime, let's leave you with the music, and let's leave you with my theme song, and then we'll go to one last song, and that'll be it for the night. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
Paisanos, it's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show!
With the Mario Brothers, them plumbing's our game. We're not like the others who get all the fame. If your sink is in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers. A treat, so hang on to your seat. Get ready for adventure and remarkable feats. You'll meet Koopas and Troopas, the princess and the others. Hey.